Hello, welcome to the Jew 3 Project podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Fields. I'm the founder of the Jew 3 Project. Thank you for watching another episode of the Jew 3 Project podcast. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. He goes by the name of Brother Berean. You might have seen him on YouTube on Berean TV. So without further ado, welcome, Brother Berean.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for accepting my invitation. I heard about you through Dr. Eric Mason, and he was like, you got to get Brother Berean on the podcast.
Yes,
and
so Thank you, doctor. Yes.
And here we are. So for those who aren't familiar with your YouTube channel, just give a little bit of background about you and the reason you started your channel.
Well, I used to pastor Berean Christian Center in 99 to 2003 in Brooklyn. And I don't pastor anymore, but I started to notice that there were a lot of doctrines that were being taught that I remember from years back, and they're beginning to spill out into the street. I never really paid it any mind. I just said they're just a couple of crazy people that's sharing certain things and they're saying certain things about Christianity. But I've noticed it's growing, especially with the advent of Facebook and YouTube and everything, that it's real popular and it's spreading, and it's built on misconception. So that kind of got me into the apologetics thing, just answering questions, because a lot of people know that I did used to pastor a church, that I was a pastor at once. And that's kind of how I got kind of forced into it.
I understand. One of the biggest things that you deal with on your channel, and one of the things we haven't dealt with a lot here, is the comedic Egyptology movement. And yes. A lot of people don't understand the movement, because you encounter so many different people and they believe you can run into someone who believes one thing and say they're a part of the same movement, and then another kind of believes slightly different. So it's kind of hard to nail it down sometimes. Can you give us a general overview of the comedic Egyptology movement?
Well, the comedic Egyptology movement, or this comedic doctrine, basically teaches that the black man is the original man. And that comes from Elijah Muhammad and others back in the 60s, Elijah Muhammad and Clarence 13X, that started the Nation of Gods and Earth. But they're eclectic in the sense that they bring a lot of doctrines from everywhere, but it's all based on ancient Kemet, and that's the name of Egypt. They said all religions come from Egypt. Egypt was the first civilization on the face of the earth, and that Christianity is just a watered down version of the ancient doctrine of Osiris, Isis, and Osiris. And that's basically the gist of what they believe. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that have been studying history in general, they would start going off into conspiracy theories and the formulation of Christianity, which is not historical, but everything is based on what the white man is doing and attempting to oppress us as people of African or Hebraic descent.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you mentioned just now was the connection between Osiris and Jesus. And I've seen a lot of videos saying that kind of Jesus was kind of a copycat of Osiris. And I know you did a video on that on Berean TV. Can you kind of explain the connection between Jesus and Osiris and how they kind of make that claim?
Well, in all actuality, there is no connection. A lot of people don't understand that. But back in the 1800s, there was an amateur Egyptologist, and his name is Gerald Massey, and he's an icon in the conscious community. He has a book called Ancient Egypt, Light of the World, and the Book of Beginnings. And what's the other book? The book on the historical Jesus and the mystical Christ. He was a Gnostic. He was he practiced theophany under Helen Blavatsky, and he often wrote for articles for her, and he was a Luciferian. So the theosophists, they were at war with the church. So in the 1800s, which I often have to remind people is when Gerald Massey started, that's the beginning of us beginning Champollion, beginning to understand the hieroglyphs and reading the Metuneta. And there's so much more that we know now about Egyptology. And most modern day Egyptologists, they don't look at Gerald Massey and they don't recognize him as a scholar at all. Mm-hmm. The screen blanked out, but can you still see me?
No, I can't see. I can see you now. I can see you now.
Okay, all right. And that's basically what it is. And Gerald Massey is one of those in the very beginning who was not a trained Egyptologist. He was an amateur. And he was one of those in the beginning that began to make correlations with Jesus saying, and Osiris saying Osiris was born of a virgin and he had 12 disciples and he walked on water and he raised a man from the dead that had two sisters. And that's supposed to be the Mary and Martha story with Lazarus. And none of that stuff is true. Mm-hmm. Original sources, if we start going back to the pyramid texts and different texts that speak about Osiris, a lot of people don't know that Plutarch, there's about 5 different versions of the Osiris story, and he was never born of a virgin. He didn't die and resurrect as the scriptures declare what happened to Jesus, but Gerald Massey began to equate that, and later on there was another gentleman named Kersey Graves, and he wrote a famous book, World 16 Crucified Saviors, and he attempted to equate Krishna with a virgin birth and Mithra and so many others and say that Jesus is just a copy of this, this ongoing doctrine. It's an ongoing astrotheology. By saying it's an astrotheology, Jesus never existed. He's really the sun. If we understand the sun, S-U-N and S-O-N, and it's a play on words, and Christians don't understand it, that we took it and we turned it into something else. But historically speaking, all of that stuff is not incorrect. And when we begin to look at movies like Zeitgeist, the Zeitgeist movie has 600 million views on the internet, very popular. A lot of people get information from Zeitgeist and the Da Vinci Code, far as the Nicene Council and Constantine and the white people got together and they basically invented Christianity and made Jesus a god. And historically speaking, so much of that stuff is no good. Even when we look at Richard Carrier, who's an atheist, and he has a PhD, he has a master's and PhD in history, he argued from a mythicist position, and that position is that Jesus never existed. And he even says you can't, when it comes to Kersey Graves and World 16 Crucified Saviors, you can't use that as a source because it's unreliable. But there's no comprehensive critique that has been written about it. Now, the problem is scholars have been, they automatically would see certain things like what's in the Zeitgeist movie and World 16 Crucified Saviors, and scholars and historians and theologians, they understand automatically that Mithra wasn't born of a virgin. Mithra came from the side of a rock, that Krishna was the 8th of 7 children from his mother Devaki. But people that don't know, they'll begin to believe these things and they don't do their own research. And himself being an atheist, he said you can't deal with that, but it's so prevalent on the internet. Now scholars are beginning to have to look at it because it spreads so much this madness.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned sources, and I think that's so important because you also talk in another one of your episodes on Berean TV about these groups not really understanding the sources they're using. Yes. And they might respond and say, well, we don't take the white man's information or read the white man's books. But you kind of exposed the fact that some of their sources are from white men.
The majority of their sources, Gerald Massey, as well as Kersey Graves with the World 16 Crucified Saviors, they were both Europeans. They were both Europeans and they were both spiritualists. A lot of people don't understand that Gerald Massey and his wife, they used to have seances in the homes. And they, like I said, they were theophysists. They were part of theophany and they were at war with Christianity. So a lot of people don't understand that what we're dealing with here, ideologies, and the scripture says casting down imaginations, vain thoughts, prideful thoughts. The black man is the original man and the white man is the devil. A lot of it's built on that. And being that Gerald Massey and Count Volley that wrote Ruins of an Empire, there were certain Europeans that said the Egyptians were Africans. They picked that up and they all run with that. And they don't know that their sources are no good. So if you look at the movies of De Geist, the Da Vinci Code, and so much of what you would see on Cinetta Television, Polite, and so many others, Ashwaquazi, Dr. Ray Hagen, who was a pastor, I believe it was in the Baptist church. He was a pastor. He walked away and he's teaching in the conscious community. And most of them, about 90% of their sources comes from Kersey Graves on World 16 Crucified Saviors, come from Gerald Massey, Ancient Egypt, Light of the World. Recently, Acharya S., Dorothy Murdoch, she was writing certain books, The Greatest Story Ever Sold, and The Christ Conspiracy, how this was astrotheology. And again, Jesus never lived. And this is a mythicist position, which is a small position, but it's beginning to grow on the internet. And I have to remind people that the majority of people that hold degrees in their field, this is the problem. A lot of people like Richard Carrier, we would listen to him, scholars would listen to him, because he has a master's and a PhD in world history. That's important, but I often would bring up somebody that speaks as an authority on Egypt and religion, Omar Johnson. Omar Johnson, I believe they said he has a PhD in child psychology. So he can't speak as an Egyptologist. You can't speak to me as an authority on the Metuneta or the Egyptian Book of the Dead or the Coming Forth by Day, because that's not what your degree is in. And that's a problem that people don't understand. So we would have someone like Dr. Charles Finch, and I believe he was teaching in Morehouse. And down south, and people look to him as some type of authority, but his degree is not in Egyptology, and that's been a problem. And there's been a lot of people that hasn't been staying in their lane. They've been going out of their lane and teaching certain things that they really don't have an understanding of. And one person that's seriously flawed in their teaching is Dr. Walter Williams. And this gentleman that was a pastor, that you might have seen it on the internet, he's saying that he comes to the truth of the Bible and all the characters in the Bible are fake. And then he go into the story of Alexander and Serapis, and when Alexander the Great took over Egypt, this is the beginning of the white man ruling the world. And historically speaking, none of that stuff is so.
Mm-hmm. When you're interacting one-on-one with people just that you encounter on the street, how do you go about debunking these claims?
I try to take my time. Sometimes I bombard them with certain things, but when they make statements about Alexander the Great and the white man came and took over Egypt and that was the downfall of us, I often ask them, I said, well, who was the Pharaoh? Who was the Pharaoh that was on the throne at the time that Alexander the Great came into Egypt? And I could find nobody that considered themselves conscious that can answer the question. Well, history tells us that the Persians were ruling, that the Egyptians weren't on the throne. So when Alexander the Great came on the scene, he came and they accepted him because he came as a liberator. He allowed them to practice their religion and do whatever. And a lot of people don't understand that. They feel Alexander the Great took over Egypt from Africans, and then he made the priests make him a god and Soter, and this is where we get Savior from, and he was the first Christ. And we hear a lot of this madness from Ray Hagen, Sarah Sutton Seti, and it's all built on Walter Williams' book, and it's historically none of the stuff is correct. But once a trained historian listens to it, they discount it. But it's been spreading on the internet. And because people want to believe that the black man is the original man and the black man is superior to Europeans, they just accept this. And a lot of them are moving from hurt, you know, slavery and everything, Jim Crow. And that makes them accept this. And there are a lot of people that are walking away from the church saying they come to a higher truth. Now, I often tell them, if you don't want to accept the Bible, that's okay, but don't walk away from the scriptures for a lie. Make sure you understand comedic doctrine, who Gerald Massey was, who's Acharya S., and what's going on.
Mm-hmm. If people are considering that are listening, walking away from the faith because of these kind of false teachings, what questions would you charge them to ask those who are trying to indoctrinate them?
Do they know the true history of the church? For one, I believe apologetics is so important. That's how come I appreciate what you're doing, Dr. Mason, with the urban apologetics in African-American community. We love to hoop and holler and dance, but there are a lot of things that people haven't been taught. There's so many Christians. I've met so many pastors, and they were like, well, give me a rundown on the Nicene Council. They're not familiar with certain things. You have to know the history of the church. You have to be prayerful. I'm surprised how people, that guy can say that he was a pastor and that he came to a higher truth. You have to you have to be in a relationship with the Lord. But I ask them often, no one in a conscious community can explain to me, well, can you give me a primary or secondary source on the Nicene Council? Where did you receive the stuff from? Nobody's ever heard of Eusebius, ecclesiastical history. Nobody never heard of that. They say things, and basically what they say, it comes from the Da Vinci Code, and they made Jesus God and certain other things that weren't true. If we go back to origin African church fathers, if we go back to Bishop Theophilus, the word Trinity was in existence. People worshiped God. If they understood the history of the church, they couldn't begin to say that Jesus was made God at the Nicene Council. A whole bunch of what they say are basically lies. But once again, it's the backlash of certain things that Europeans have done. The white Jesus. They gave us a white Jesus, so they can't separate what the scriptures say. They can't separate church history from the image of Jesus that came to us around 1503 in Europe for Europeans, but then it began to spread with slavery and everything. So the mere fact that grandma had a white Jesus, the Bible is garbage, far mm-hmm. as they're concerned, and they can't begin to separate. And when we start dealing with thinking logically and knowing how to do research, we have a problem. If I'm involved in a movement, you're involved in a movement, Pastor Mason's involved in a movement, we can quote each other. Even though we're all wrong, we can quote each other and keep referring to each other. And in the conscious community, a lot of their books are like that. You'll look at their footnotes, like I say in the movies, The Geist, or what other people write, Dr. Ben, We the Black Jews. And a lot of their footnotes come from these people, Albert Churchward, Signs and Symbols of Primordial Man. Like I said, Gerald Massey, Count Volley. There's certain people, Godfrey Higgins, there's certain people that they constantly use. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, do you know how to do research? Do you, where is this coming from? And a lot of people in the conscious community don't. I've done my study. They've seen a video on Sinetta TV. They've seen a video or two, and they feel that they're learned in that specific area. And then when you pin them down and really start asking them certain things, they're not as knowledgeable in true history, but they'll begin to say that history, oh, it's a conspiracy. You don't know it because the white man's been keeping it from you. The white man took history and turned it around, and we don't really know it. But when we have people like Walter Williams making statements about the origin of Christianity and how Alexander the Great was the first Christ or the first savior, and that's where Serapis came from, that's all madness. No historian. And when we start, like I said, when we start dealing with historians that's in that specific field, no historian agrees with any of that. So to make a statement like that, you have to have some footnotes. If you look at Walter Williams' book and you look in the back of his footnotes, he's making too many serious statements and he's having no way to back it up. But people just accept it because of the color of his skin. So I can say anything. If I'm conscious and I'm talking, I can say anything because I'm a black man. Oh, you're trained to just believe the white man, but you don't want to believe a brother. No, a brother, black man, white man, Asian, Hispanic, if you're teaching something, you have to come, especially when you're making certain statements, you have to come with facts. You have to show me, where did you get that from? And a lot of people don't do that. And they claim that we in the church just blindly follow. They're doing the same thing, a lot of it. Mm-hmm.
One of the things, questions and resources that conscious people constantly point me to is, especially in the South, the movie Hidden Colors.
Yes.
Explain kind of what is people, why are people so attracted to that docuseries?
Because it speaks to the glory of people of African descent. And they feel a lot of our history in the schools and everywhere has been hidden. And they want to bring certain truths, they want to bring certain truths out. But some, like I said, some of the things are just not good. And if you're not trained in history, if you're not really kind of versed in history, you'll just accept what they're saying and you'll run with it. They have some very good things. One thing that people often say in the conscious community, oh, you Christians don't know that one of the first slave ships was called Jesus. And we came over here on a ship called Jesus. So Jesus can't be any good. And they don't understand, because somebody gave us a ship, we came on a ship that was named Jesus, that doesn't have anything to do with the historical Christ and who Jesus is. And there's a lot of bitterness, I noticed, that's in people's hearts. And because they feel bitter, because they feel it's a conspiracy, because they feel we've been oppressed for so long, they run to movies such as The Hidden Colors.
Yeah, and what are some specific things in Hidden Colors that are kind of off? Because you mentioned there are some things that are good as far as that are actually historical, but there are some things about the Christian faith that are off in Hidden Colors.
The main thing that had me, I think it was Dr. Valentine, he was talking about the Nicene Council and how they were at war and they wanted to make this white man. They wanted to make this white man Jesus. They wanted to make him God. And the Egyptians and all of the black people didn't want to accept that. They didn't want to accept it. And basically, it's back to the same Nicene thing, the conspiracy to make Jesus God and oppress us and our true spirituality, because we're all basically gods or have divinity with inside of us. And that's another very important thing inside the conscious community. On Polite, I don't believe Polite was in the movie, but Brother Polite, who's very, he's the Creflo Dollar, I call him, of the conscious community. And his doctrine now is he's teaching that the black woman is God. And that's really growing there. A lot of black women just making them feel good. And they're arguing. People are saying, when they do give birth to children, and they have to be divine in some type of way. And this is another part of the conscious community, big doctrine that's being spread. But basically, it's the Nicene Council. And what they teach in Hidden Colors and what they teach in a lot of the conscious community that people don't understand is what we would call the New Age movement, that we all are divine. There's no original sin. We're all gods and kings, and that's how they often address themselves. What's up, God? What's up, King? And that's really bad, because if we go back to Genesis, we'll begin to understand that doctrine has always been around, and the doctrine was around in Theosophy and New Age movement, that you can evolve into God. And they say if you study and you have enough knowledge and open your third eye, this is part of that doctrine, the Kundalini spirit. And it's a false Holy Spirit opening up your third eye and your chakras and decalcifying your pineal gland. It's a lot. And people are really taking this and they believe that they can develop into godhood by certain practices.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you made that connection to Genesis 1, because that the enemy is still using the same tricks. It's wrapped sometimes differently, but the contents are still the same. Why do you think many African-American millennials are so attracted to this concept of being in control of their own destinies and God?
It seems like the millennials, it seems like they're radical. They say they're free thinkers. I don't need it the way grandma did it. We can do something new. One brother, he hit me and he said, listen, y'all elders, y'all have failed us. Y'all failed us time and time again. It's time for us to take over and move on. And they don't feel that they need God in the sense of the Bible, in where God can lead you and guide you. I have my own mind, and it has to do with another European, Thomas Paine, the Age of Reason. Certain things just don't make sense. I'm the captain of my own ship, basically. And that's a lot of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. what do you think churches need to do in order to combat this kind of false teaching? How do you think churches can better equip their congregation?
We have to tell people, first of all, I noticed that the people in the conscious community, they want to speak. A lot of times, not a lot, but a good bit of Christians that I know, once you start bringing up, well, you have to understand that the book of the coming forth by day or the book of the dead says such and such, the pyramid text say such and such. I noticed that a lot of Christians aren't tolerant at all. If you can't just quote the Bible, times have changed. You can't just say because the Bible said so. You have to come with other things, and you have to be open to listen to what people are saying. But pastors have to definitely equip their people. We'll have to start, like I said, speaking on the Nicene Council and just understanding doctrine. They say that we have more Bibles now than we've ever had on the face of the earth, but this is the most illiterate age of the church, where a lot of believers say 10, 20, 30 years, they don't know 20 scriptures. They don't understand systematic theology. And we're doing something that's called Sunday Seminary, and it's not so much for ministers, but just to train the regular laity and explain certain things to them when we start dealing with the conscious community and the Trinity and the different church councils. And I think that's very important. Teaching has, we have to increase the teaching. Mm-hmm. Especially to adapt to the times that we're living in. There's a lot of people that I know go to church, and they're locked into just church, and their friends are in the church. And even if they have one son or one nephew that's involved in that stuff, they don't understand it is growing. And because the internet is growing faster and faster. And I have a lot of young people that say, you know, I don't want to approach my pastor with this, but I want to ask you something about Osiris, because I've been thinking. And that's that, and that's something big right there. They've been thinking, and slowly they're peeping that leaving the church. If they don't have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ and understand true history, people are leaving for this movement.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so true. We have to engage, and we have to equip and take people's questions seriously, or else they will find somebody who will, and sometimes who they find to engage them are the wrong people.
That's correct.
And they go off. What would you like to leave with our listeners on this topic that we haven't discussed already?
I think we have to study more. You know, scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think when we go to church as believers now, often we're looking for entertainment. We're not in a praying posture as we need to be, and we're definitely not in a studying posture. These people would go to these conscious meetings, and they would be in there for hours upon hours listening to lectures and PowerPoints, and they just want to take in knowledge. And it's the same thing even with the Black Hebrew Israelites. They will study for hours and hours and hours, and we have to be more studious. Mm-hmm. We have to take time out. There's so many Christians, we're so caught up into cookie and empire and television and Kardashians, and it's crazy. But we have to, because the back door of the church is open, and we're losing young people, because mm-hmm. young people want answers, and certain things are very appealing in the conscious community, and they're attempting to give them answers. And mm-hmm. writ demands that we give answers to people that ask us according to our faith or what we believe and why we believe what we believe. We need to be ready to answer them.
And there's one key person that I forgot to ask you about, Dr. Seti.
Yes.
Could you explain?
Dr. Seti, the one that just recently died, or there's a young man that's very powerful in the conscious community. His name is Sarah Sutton Seti. And he's a powerhouse. Him and there's another young man named Young Pharaoh. They have a lot of eclectic teachings once again, but it's based on conspiracy, and they're pulling from everywhere. They start talking about on the old 5% lessons and how far the sun is from the earth. And people think this is very important because they say, if you don't understand your melanin and you don't understand science and the blackness of our skins and that we were the original gods of the earth. And these people are really promoting that doctrine. We're more spiritual than Europeans because we have more melanin and the sun. And so we're automatically on another level from them. And this is very, very powerful. Popular. So Cyrus Sutton said he speaks a lot. He's very against the Bible, very against the Bible, foul language. But there are a lot of people that's listening to him. A lot of young people in the church, they're listening, or they have co-workers that's bringing certain things up to them. And Cyrus Sutton said he's one of the leaders in there. If Polite is the Creflo Dollar of the conscious community, Cyrus Sutton said he is the Noel Jones of the conscious community. And there's a bunch of other ones out there.
Mm-hmm. How do we debunk his theology or his teachings?
Like I said, a lot of his stuff comes from Walter Williams, but it comes from Gerald Massey also. People don't ask, where did you get it from? Once you find out where you got it from and you understand that they only use about a dozen sources. And like I said, the main sources for the entire conscious community, for the entire mythicist movement is Gerald Massey and Kersey Graves and Count Volley and Godfrey Higgins and Dr. Ben and Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. John G. Jackson with Stolen Legacy. His book is very interesting. In the 1950s, I believe the book came out, and he said basically the Greeks came and they stole everything, and Greek philosophy is Egyptian, and all of the religions of the world, all of the sciences of the world are built on African teachings that were stolen. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sources are very important, and I was just I think another thing that feeds this too, that I think is interesting, is because there's so many that sometimes Western Europeans don't tell the whole truth about history in our history books. It kind of feeds this. It seems like the other spectrum is to not be honest about history in the conscious community as well. So you can't
say lies with lies. Same thing that Europeans have done with history. They're attempting to do the same thing. They just switch it around. In one of my videos, I was talking about Elijah Muhammad and how Elijah Muhammad said, when you start dealing with Adam and Eve in the Bible, that's the origin of the white man. The black man has no beginning. But racist, when you start dealing with British Israelism and Phineas priesthood and different organizations, they've taught the same thing, that Adam and Eve was this and that, and the black people were considered the beast of the fields in the Bible. So back in the days, Elijah Muhammad took the teaching and he flipped the teaching, and a lot of the other people did also, Noble Drew Ali, Clarence 13X, and so many others. Noble Drew Ali, he's the founder of the Moore Science Temple. We have a lot of Moors, and all these organizations, they study, they read a lot. It may be confusing what they're reading. It may not be based on pure true history, but they're just saying, if you can't find it in history, just because the white man hit it and it's really out there and it can go and it can really go off into some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trying to combat lies with lies. That doesn't work well. One of the videos that I watched recently, you talked about the pastor who said everybody in scripture, everything in scripture is a lie. And then you talked about, he said, you can't find the bodies. And I think you made a great point that people don't think critically about. Explain that point about, not being able to find most of the bodies.
Every week I'll get comments also, people in the conscious community, they're trained like Muslims would say certain things. Show me in the Bible where Jesus said he was God, come and worship me. Where Muslims are trained for certain things. They have training in the conscious community, and they have questions, specific questions for Christians. I'm working on a video now. It's just called Christian Lessons. And there's certain things that they would ask you. They would say, well, where's the body of Abraham and Moses? And I would just ask them, where's the body of 99% of the people that has ever walked the face of the earth? Where's the body of Hannibal? Where's the body of Pocahontas? Where's the body of Alexander the Great? So many people. So that's not really sound because of the because of decomposition. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Now, because of the embalming techniques that the Egyptians had, and they were the first to do it, and we can find a lot of the kings, a lot of the pharaohs, should I say, in Egypt, because of that, and because the land is so dry over there, it kind of preserved their bodies. But the majority of people on the face of the earth that have ever walked the face of the earth, you can never find their bodies. But that's a point that they love to bring out, and they'll attempt to say you can't prove that anybody lived in the Bible because of that. But we have to look at certain things. Even if we look at Josephus, Josephus speaks about Christ, and a lot of scholars feel that the first portion of Josephus is an interpolation, that maybe a Christian added a certain words inside of there. But the second part of Josephus that speaks about James, the brother of our Lord, that no scholar disputes that. And if you look at Sennacherib, if you look at the history, I often bring up the Marnepta, the pharaoh in Egypt, the Marnepta Stela. And if you look at that, they can just Google that. That's in stone where the Egyptian pharaoh was bragging that he's destroyed Israel and their name shall be no more. The conscious community loves saying, I want to see it in stone. I want to see it in stone. In Egypt, we have it in stone. I tell them, Google that Marnepta Stela. Google that and find that out. And there's so many other people, the Queen of Sheba, the pharaohs in scripture, the Caesars in scripture. There's so much Hezekiah. But a lot of people, we don't understand archaeology. But one thing I want to say is that people have to understand, no matter what they say in the conscious community, the spade of the archaeologist has never found something to contradict the Bible. And that's very important for us to know.
Well, I think you provided a lot of information, and I think this has been a very rich conversation. So I'm so thankful for you taking this time to record on a Saturday. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. How can people get in contact with you? And what is the link to your Twitter page? Your Twitter channel? Not Twitter page. I'm sorry, your YouTube channel.
Brother Berean, you can check me out on Berean TV on YouTube. Like I said, we have about 103, 104 videos on Brother Berean on Facebook. Or you can hit me at brotherberean.com. We have something called Sunday Seminary. And if y'all just hit us there with the link, I think we have a few more spaces available for people who want to come and get some teachings. We're dealing with the Bible, systematic theology, but I'm leaning towards a lot of this conscious stuff because I see it's so prevalent among our young people that are in the church and out of the church, and how to refute that stuff. We're going to go into more details. I'm going to bring out the books and stuff, and I'm going to explain, like, primary, secondary, when we start dealing with sources and how people do research, how we pull history together.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Back on. I appreciate it. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Jew3 Project podcast. As always, you can catch all our past episodes at www.jew3project.com, or you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play by searching the Jew3 Project. You can also get better equipped with our Bible Engagement app by searching the App Store, Google Play, or Apple App Store, by searching the Jew3 Project, and that will help you better engage scripture on a daily basis. If you would like to donate to the Jew3 Project, go to jew3project.com and hit the donate tab. In addition, you can follow us on social media by searching at Jew3 Project on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and YouTube. Remember, here at the Jew3 Project, we're helping you to know what you believe and why you believe it.